Hi, I'm Ryan Penny, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. Recently, more and more are starting to believe that there's been a lot of growing interest in Catholicism, especially in America. So today, we're asking the question, are we seeing a Catholic revival? And if not, how can we stay motivated to take up the cross and to continue the work in the Lord's vineyard? To answer these questions, I'm joined by the founder of Boldly Beloved and host of the Here I Am Stories podcast on EWTN, Kim Zember. She's joining us today from Texas. And next, we have the host of Sips with Sarah on YouTube, catechist Adrian Lawson. He's with us today from California. And finally, we have apologist and speaker Cameron Riker. He joins us from Illinois. Before we can fully dive into our questions, let's learn a little bit more about our panelists. Kim, tell us about your journey in life and the reality that you're now living in this sacramental life in Christ.
Well, I would say for sure lived the prodigal life. Grew up in the faith, but it was more in my head than in my heart, and had a radical encounter with Jesus October 17, 2014, a little bit over 10 years ago, and left the LGBTQ lifestyle, left everything that was dark for the light of the world. And he has continued to show me how good he is, how beautiful his church is, how necessary the body of Christ is in my walk with him. And yeah, it's just been, it's been a radical journey, one I or my family would have never foreseen. And I am truly forever grateful to my Lord. So
that is a tremendous journey. One today that I, as we'll talk more about in the show, many wouldn't appreciate the fact that you left the community of those who identify as LGBTQ. That's a community that you're not supposed to leave. How dare you? Yeah. But you had the courage to do so. So we can't wait to hear more about that and how you're helping those who are on a similar journey. And so, Adrian, now tell us about your own testimony. Why weren't you content with the Protestant faith that you were raised in?
Yeah. I found that in the Protestantism I was raised in, which was non-denominationalism, there wasn't a lot of depth there, and there wasn't a lot of structure or instruction of what do I do in my day-to-day life. Like, I know I show up on Sundays to church. I know maybe there's like a Wednesday Bible study, but in my day-to-day life, what is like are there prayers that I should be doing every day? There wasn't a lot of direction in some of those more detailed aspects, and just a lack of tradition was just leading to me feeling dissatisfied there.
Interesting. So you wanted more, and then you realized that there is more that the Lord is offering us. And so, Cameron, now tell us about your faith journey and what made you want to contribute to the voice of Catholic evangelization online.
Yeah. So for me, my entrance into the church started by dating a Protestant, actually. I grew up Catholic, was always going to Mass on Sundays. But that was about it. Probably like a lot of other people out there, I never really gave myself to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, in the sacraments, and in his church. I just went through the motions. And so I started dating this Protestant girl, and through our conversations, I dove head over heels straight into apologetics and learned as much as I possibly could. And this journey on YouTube, on social media, is largely a matter of necessity for me, I think, because there aren't very many other people out there that are proclaiming the good news of Christ and his church, telling people how good the rosary is, how powerful the Blessed Virgin Mary is. And so I wanted to step into that space and help other people to have the experience that I've had.
You said that it's a matter of necessity for you. That's a bold thing to say, and we want to hear more about that. So, Kim, you don't look at your faith as something like Cameron that you have to share it, like you get to share it. Can you tell us about the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the human experience. When we experience something that we love, that has done well for us, whether it be a meal or some sort of clothing or whatever, just these things that pass, like we want to share it with people around us and with people we love. And so for me, I have encountered the greatest love, and it's actually the love my heart has been searching for my entire life. And so it's just natural to share about him. Like, I don't go out thinking, oh, I need to go tell people about Jesus. I'm like, dude, I have encountered something my soul has been longing for. And I bet I'm not the only one. And mm-hmm. so like, it's just natural. It's like breath, you know, to talk about the things or the people you love.
Exactly. As Pope Benedict XVI once said, that the Christian faith is not just a set of ideas. It is an encounter with a person. And so it's easy to just share the profound life-changing experience that the Lord wants to give everybody. So, and this is happening to more and more young people these days. So, Adrian, this apparent trend of young people coming into the church has caught the attention of many major media outlets, including Fox News, who brought you on as an example of this demographic coming into the church. Can you tell us what you shared with Ainsley, and why is even the media noticing this trend towards Catholicism as potentially a positive thing?
Yeah, well, what I shared there was basically my dissatisfaction with the Protestantism that I was raised with. Basically what I said earlier, the lack of depth, the lack of structure was something that left me wanting. And then just learning more about church history made me realize that the Catholic Church is the church that existed from the earliest centuries of Christianity. And I wanted to be part of that rather than something that came about later. You know, I think this is exciting for especially maybe conservative news media, because this shift towards Catholicism does come along with a shift towards more conservative ideals, traditional beliefs about marriage, traditional beliefs about relationships in general, and many other, you know, hot button social topics that are debated about very fiercely online these days. So I think there's a shift in what many would consider the right direction, both socially and religiously, with the shift to Catholicism.
Yeah, so it's good news, not necessarily for all people in the media, but those who have a more conservative bent, because those are the types, it seems, that are coming into the church. So, and then beyond generically young people and conservative people, what kind of people are you seeing coming into the church right now?
From what I've seen at my parish, it's been mostly Protestants who were either raised with zero, you know, exposure to Catholicism and just became interested in it because somebody they knew was telling them about it. There's a wonderful family coming in whose children actually told them, hey, we actually need to be Catholic. Like, this is actually true. And the parents listened to them and came along with them, which is a beautiful thing. And a lot of ex-Protestants coming in, and also some folks who were raised Catholic, but maybe weren't raised, you know, with the most devout parents, or weren't going to church every Sunday, that are now realizing I need to be more serious about my faith. And so those are the two groups that I'm seeing most frequent.
Yes, it's like the ones who I know, Kim, you have a lot to say about this, but it seems like the ones who were already evangelized to a certain degree are realizing that they need to be sacramentalized. And so that's what's happening with these non-Catholic Christians who are coming into the church. Now, Cameron, on your YouTube channel, you have a video that you posted recently called Why Catholicism is Taking Over America, in which you assert that this revival is not just happening, but it was inevitable. Please explain.
Yeah, so whenever we look at what's going on in America right now, the reason I'm forecasting that 50 to 100 years from now, America will be a predominantly Catholic nation is because if you look at the numbers, if you just look at the numbers right now, there's two sides to the coin, and one seems very bleak, the other seems very, very optimistic. And one side is a study put out by the Pew Research Institute where they indicate that for every one person who enters the Catholic Church, eight depart. So you look at just that number, you think, wow, that's pretty bleak. And then it says that the overall population of Catholics in America is being inflated or sustained by immigrants largely from Mexico coming into the U.S. who are mostly Catholic. But the other side of the coin, and this is what I'm looking at, two things here. One anecdotal, one is backed by the numbers. But there's an article put out by the National Catholic Register that states that every single diocese that reported its numbers this year is experiencing a year-over-year increase in the number of converts. So what does that mean? Well, it means that more people are entering into the church than last year, and more people are entering into the church than the year before that. So we're seeing this increase in the number of people who are being drawn to Catholicism. And if that number continues, then we're going to see an absolute explosion in Catholicism over the next 50 to 100 years, and we're starting to see the beginning of that now. The second thing is anecdotal. And it's just, if you go to churches, if you go to reverent churches anywhere in the U.S., you're starting to see more young people in church than I have ever seen. I've been going to church every Sunday for 29 years now. And I've missed maybe 5 Sundays in my entire life. And I am seeing more young people in church than ever before. And these are young people who have chosen to be Catholic. These are not young people who go to Mass out of a sense of obligation. There's certainly some of those. But more and more, there are converts. More and more, there are people who are living their faith intensely, even though their parents may not have. And people like that are going to practice what the church teaches about contraception. Just the majority of people end up becoming married. That's just the way that the numbers go. And if those married people are not practicing contraception, they're living according to the church's norms, well, 20 to 30 years from now, all those families are going to be bearing fruits. They're going to be bearing children, and they're going to be raising their children in the Mass, in the liturgy, in the sacraments. So part of it's anecdotal, part of it's forecasting, but the numbers look very good when you consider the number of converts coming into the Catholic Church right now.
And you're hearing these anecdotal reports more and more. And in my parish, there are not just more young people than older people, but there are now more babies running around than there are adults. And so that's and when you see this, it's easier to see how, well, this is only just going to grow exponentially from here. So
yeah, the parish that I attend, I have 2 little ones, and my wife is expecting her our third here in December. And we go to these churches, and it's a little annoying because the cry room is so full that we have to almost sit like just out in the middle of nowhere, take the kids outside, because there's just so many babies. It's beautiful. It's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful thing to see. And so, Kim, we know about the epic journey that our Lord took you on, but are we seeing a similar revival among the people who at one point have identified as LGBTQ? And what do you think is driving that today?
There's a huge amount of people. It's actually why I did the show that I'm doing with EWTN, the Here I Am Stories. There are people that were basically, they hit their bottom, right? They were seeking love, to be seen, to be known, and they went to the world, right? And the group of people that I feel called to is the group that I was with, right? And so this is not just within people coming out of the LGBT community or LGBT lifestyles. This is across the board. I'm seeing prodigals returning home. I'm seeing those who were far off saying, okay, you know what? Maybe there's this God that wants me. Maybe I can even just go back to work for him. And when they meet him, God just does not put them to work. He gives them life and life abundant, which Jesus promised. And so I'm seeing it personally. Do I have the statistics for it? No, but do I have a phone book full of it? Do I have friends that have left lifestyles of darkness, of what they thought was fulfilling for a life in Christ? It's through the roof. And that's why I love to highlight those, not to highlight necessarily the people, but to highlight what God is doing in people's lives, to show that, hey, no matter how far gone you seem, you're never outside of the reach of God.
Amen. And thanks be to God for the fact that there are not just that there are many more now Catholics and Christians like you, but that they're willing to share it publicly. And we see the big splash that it's making online. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. And so, Adrian, I want to ask, what do you think it's so important for Catholics to understand why we believe what we believe? That's a huge factor in all this. You know, people are coming into the church not just because they think it, you know, looks cool or feels cool, but they're doing it because they believe that it's objectively true. So talk about why it's so important for Catholics to understand what we believe and why we're Catholic.
Yeah, wow. Well, so most of the people in my life who I know who are raised Catholic are no longer Catholic. And a big reason is because they were raised being, you know, forced to go to Mass, forced to go to confession, forced to do all of these Catholic practices that people like me love to do. And I look forward to these things. I love going to confession. But they were raised being forced to do these things without understanding why. And so as, you know, my generation, I'm a millennial, as we're getting older, we're having kids, it's important that we raise our kids understanding why we believe what we believe, why we practice what we practice. And And that will prevent, I believe, tons of people from falling out of the faith. It was pretty much why I fell out of the faith, too, when I was a Protestant. And I was asking my parents who raised me in this faith, why do we believe this over other religions? They didn't really have a good answer. And I thought, okay, well, this is just made up stuff that I don't really need to take seriously then. And I realized later that could have saved me 8 years of you know, atheism if I would have just had those answers up front.
Amen. Yeah, that was the case in my reversion, that the seeds were planted of the Catholic faith in my youth, but they weren't quite strong enough to withstand all the different messages that we're getting from the world and from our peers. And it's like, if that truth isn't very clear, then it's going to be easy for us to be, you know, taken up in anything else. So back to this matter of revival, Cameron, to not let Catholics listening to our conversation get overconfident with these very positive data points. There have been some voices, like Trent Horn, for instance, who have tried to present a more sober interpretation of the data. What factors can we look at to see if we really are having an increased influx of people coming into the church? And how have you compared this influx to a rocket ship?
Yeah, so the analogy that I made in one of my videos is, imagine that you have a rocket ship that is about to land on a planet that it doesn't want to land on. As it's falling down and descending, it has a negative velocity, but the captain, who obviously does not want to land on this planet, turns on the thrusters, and so it starts accelerating in the opposite direction. So if you've taken physics or calculus, this is immediately obvious, the point that I'm making. But as the rocket ship is going down, it'll have a negative velocity but a positive acceleration. And once you get to the point where the velocity is zero, then all you have left to do is accelerate in the correct direction. And that's what we're seeing with the number of converts in America right now, is there's this sort of negative velocity, the 8-to-1 ratio that I mentioned earlier, being propped up by Mexican immigrants. But at the same time, there is this positive acceleration happening. And we're seeing that in every single diocese that reported numbers for converts. The number of converts are up in all dioceses across America that reported their numbers. That's a very, very propitious sign for Catholicism in America.
So perhaps with some of these more negative numbers that we're seeing, it's a matter of, well, the night is darkest just before the dawn, that kind of a thing.
I would say that. I would also say that it's not triumphalism. It's just hope, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we're seeing, what for the first time in my life, I think, is real tangible evidence that there is hope for the souls of millions of people in America. And I think Our Lady has been preparing the hearts and minds of many for decades now. And I think we're right on the edge of an explosion of faith in this country.
Amen. So, Cam, I want to hear more now about the genesis of your new podcast, Here I Am Stories, and what has been your experience with it so far. Just for our viewers who don't know, this is a new podcast that launched on EWTN's YouTube channel a month ago on June 1st, the beginning of, you know, what's referred to as Pride Month. So this is a brand new podcast, and it's been very successful so far. Can you tell us, you know, what was your inspiration for this? What's the backstory, and what's been your experience with it so far?
Yeah, God alone, because look, Ryan, I didn't want to share my own story. And so I would never want someone else to do what I didn't want to do. But when I experienced how God showed up, how he got glory, how he brought people hope, through my wretchedness, through all my failures, I honestly couldn't stop sharing. I'm like, okay, Lord, just you guide me and give me the strength. And I felt like he invited me in to do the same for others. He's like, Kim, you know, you've trusted me. Can you show others it's safe to do the same? And so, you know, I just kind of reached out to some of my friends and was like, hey, we've got some radical stories that the world needs to hear about, not so we're glorified, but so that people can really see Jesus alive and tangible and doing what he did when we read about him in the Bible, right? And one by one, I mean, every one of them, I got almost the exact same response from them is I would be honored to. And you have been, you know, someone who has helped pave the way as others have done for me as well. And they're like, it would be an honor to share. And so we started recording. We actually started recording it during Lent. The first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, is when we started. That was unplanned to me, but God knows what he's doing. And we finished up some of the episodes, and they're to be continued. Like, these are not going to end. I have people continuing to reach out to me that are saying, hey, I want to share what Jesus has done in my life. I want others to know that they're not too far gone, that there's always hope. I want families to know, as their own families lost hope for them. And now they're living in this, you know, which it's a journey, right? But they're living in and with Christ. They want other families to know, hey, your child, your loved one is still within reach of the Lord, right? And so it's been such an honor. And it's actually just beautiful because I'm like, man, we're going to get blasted, you know? People are going to hate us. And I'm ready for that. I'm like, I just remember the scripture where the Lord's like, hey, just remember they hated me first. And so I count it actually a blessing. That's not my goal, but if and when it happens. But I'm telling you, Ryan, it's been unbelievable, the response to each person's testimony. And I really believe it's because our focus is not on pulling people down or tearing down even agendas or ideas. It's about lifting up Jesus and honoring another human being for their own journey. Right? It's here I am. It's like somebody saying, hey, here's my heart. I'm gonna share this with the world. And I'm so greatly thankful that people have been respectful of people's journeys. Whether they agree with their life or not, there's been a great and deep honor for human, just the human existence. And I'm so thankful for that. So I've been so blessed by it. You know, only the Lord knows what is to come, but it's his, it's not mine, it's his, and he can do with it what he pleases. So,
yes, it's beautiful. And the gratitude that's been pouring in is there for everybody to see. I invite anyone listening to our conversation right now to simply go to EWTN's YouTube channel or watch some of the reels on social media, some of which have gotten like over 800,000 views. And see the comment section of people, you know, thanking EWTN. Thank you for doing this, whether they've experienced, you know, they've, you know, been in the lifestyle themselves or they have loved ones who were there. Thank you for sharing these stories because they resonate with people. It's like, I've lived this story. I know people who have. Thank you for being honest and open and sharing this love of Christ with us, because it's, you're right, it's not about tearing people down. It's about simply sharing the love and the grandeur of our Lord and how he wants to invite us into his blessed life. That's what it's about. And sharing these stories is what, you know, things like this are doing. So, Adrian, what should Catholics do to encourage more of this, of what we're talking about, to encourage this wave of incoming converts, of people coming from all different demographics? What should devout practicing Catholics who want to evangelize now do to ride this wave?
Yeah, well, step one is to be devout, like you said. So practice your faith, be a faithful Catholic. The next step is to learn about why we believe what we believe. Hopefully my channel has been a good resource for that. I know Cameron's doing great work as well, and there's many resources out there now to figure out why this whole Catholicism thing is true. So have those things under your belt, and simply don't be afraid to bring things up. I had a conversation recently that went very differently than I thought it would. Doing this YouTube channel, I'm kind of like, I don't necessarily want to tell everybody what I'm doing. Because they're going to ask, what's your YouTube channel about? It's about Catholicism. And then it's going to lead to maybe an argument or something. So I went to the barber shop recently, and I haven't brought it up to my barber what I do for work. And this time I did, or he asked me, and I was like, yeah, I do YouTube. And he's like, what's that about? And I said, Catholicism. And I didn't know this, but his girlfriend is, he was raised Catholic. His girlfriend is a Protestant. So they've had these conversations, and he kind of hasn't understood a lot of the stuff that came along with Catholicism, kind of like I was saying earlier. He was raised in it, but didn't really understand it. So he was asking me a bunch of questions, the entire haircut. And by the end of it, he was like, this conversation has like changed things for me. Thank you. And I was like, wow, all because I was like, hey, this is what I do for my job. I talk about Catholicism on YouTube. It led to that whole thing. So you never know, just telling a friend, you know, I'm going to Mass this Sunday, or you know, as things come up in your day-to-day life that you might be a little bit shy to share about, just share those things, and it will lead to people asking questions. And then once you know the answers, once you've studied these things, you can provide those answers to them when they ask. So I think that's a good place to start.
And sometimes you can get a great haircut out of it too. You just never know what's going to happen. So, Cameron, this is probably going to be the last question of the show. We're going to have a whole other part two of this conversation. But last question of the show to you. Right now, in the public eye, it seems like Catholicism is getting a lot more attention, especially from celebrities. You look at people like Candace Owens converting to Catholicism. The vice president is Catholic. Jordan Peterson's wife converting to the Catholic faith. What do you think these celebrity conversions are doing? You think that they're adding to the coolness of the Catholic faith right now?
I think certainly, if you want to look at the coolness factor, having celebrities that are Catholic certainly contributes to that. I think that if you look at the narrative, though, I don't know who said this, but a wise man once said, if you want to know the health of a culture, look at its stories. Look at the stories that it tells. And right now, people like Candace Owens, people like Tammy Peterson, who has a somewhat miraculous story of how she attributes a lot of her health. She was basically, to summarize the story very briefly, she was diagnosed with some form of terminal cancer, changed her life completely, started to pray the rosary, and now she doesn't have cancer anymore. So we see these stories, these celebrities, they're not just people that we see on the screen or something like that. They are people who are living the story that God has given to them, and that shapes the minds and hearts of all of their viewers. And so I think that all these people that you just mentioned are good examples of Christ acting in the lives of real people, and they just happen to be famous. They just happen to have a platform.
Amen. And they do have amazing stories to share, and they're there online for everybody to see, as are all of your platforms. Kim, Adrian, Cameron, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation today. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join us right here next week on The Catholic Sphere.